This is a replay of the Tuesday night, March 25th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, you see, what happened was I was minding my own business and looking at email about a month or so ago, and I'm besieged with stuff from publicists, usually for the radio stations I have in Arizona, and usually they go right into the circular file unread. But this one caught my attention because it said Chicago author. I went, maybe not for my radio stations, but perhaps on WGN. So I wrote and asked for a copy of the book. And Charlene Wexler was kind enough to send me two of them. And I read them cover to cover. And I thought, this is just perfect. So if you are a Chicagoan, you will love this. And I'm not alone in saying this because just last month, the Illinois General Assembly issued a resolution. Now, as you know, we don't discuss politics on this show, no matter what, but this isn't politics, trust me. It's House Resolution 141, whereas the members of the Illinois House of Representatives wish to congratulate Charlene Wexler of Richmond on being presented with the 2025 Senior Illinoisan Hall of Fame Award and on being inducted into the Senior Illinoisans Hall of Fame. And whereas each year the Department on Aging presents the Senior Illinoisan Hall of Fame Award, and we go on and say, in this case, to Charlene, who is a native Chicagoan, a graduate of the University of Illinois, and the award-winning author of several novels, poems, and collections of short fiction and essays, including Laurie, The Elephants in the Room, Farewell to South Shore, Milk and Oranges, Murder Across the Ocean, and Murder on Skid Row. It was that last book that came to my attention. And that's what I asked for. Although the latest book, man, got me spellbound, but we'll get to that. Charlene's journey as a writer began when her son Jeffrey was diagnosed with leukemia at age 8. And during her son's illness, Charlene kept a journal as a form of therapy. And when her son died at age 12, she channeled her grief into her first novel, Laurie, which is just terrific. Her work has appeared in a variety of publications. She's received many honors, including a Global Book Award in the contemporary fiction category, as well as a Four Seasons Book Award for Farewell to South Shore. Yeah, that's the one. We're going to talk about that and others. And so by writing about strong women, the women's movement, family relations, and the loss of a child in a manner that weaves together both laughter and sorrow, and by creating historical fiction that draws from the experience of her life, Charlene Wexler inspires her readers to adhere to her life advice. Follow your dream. You can do it. It's never too late. Indeed. Now, what it was about the books that really, really grabbed me, other than that they were a pleasure to read, is that when we look at things historically, we get all the facts and the figures and what politics did and what the government did in other ways and all that. But in terms of a real glimpse into life and the life of a people at a point in time, usually that's lacking. And that's what Charlene's books give to us, that and more. So Charlene, we say welcome to 720 WGN Radio. And I say welcome, and she's not there. All right, this is me. I'm sure this is me. Oh, I know why it's me. Okay, so let's do it again.
Great there introduction, we are. And thank right. you for allowing me on your show.
Oh, I'm thrilled about this, actually. As I say, there aren't many things that really provide a look into historical things that happen in an area. We'll hear that an area was gentrified or devolved into Skid Row or whatever, but we don't usually hear the backstories, the stories of the people and all of the things behind it. And that's what your novels do, and I think it's terrific.
Thank you very much.
No, I must. Go ahead.
No, I'll let you go first.
I was going to say, I must say that when I read Farewell to South Shore, I could relate to so much of it, not so much firsthand, but your characters were so well-defined that, in fact, Sherry, the star of this book and her first marriage, I swear I had a good friend whose daughter was Sherry and lived the exact same marriage that you pointed out in that. And it was fascinating to read it because I said, you know, this really hits home. And I'm sure that if people will read your novels, they're going to find the same thing about the characters and about Chicago.
I've been told this a lot, that I do a very good job on characters. And I'll tell you something funny about Farewell to South Shore. That book is based on my upbringing, especially the beginning of it. I grew up in a family building where the book starts. And I had a cousin call me who was very, it's fiction based on truth. Based on, you know, a real story. And I had a cousin call me who was extremely upset because I put a male cousin in the building, and we didn't have any boy cousins. Yeah. She really didn't realize how much of it was fiction, even though I said that, based on the truth.
Well, in the way you wrote it, she related to it as fact. And I must say, you captured me in chapter one when your grandfather was on the roof. So it's a fun read.
Right. Well, I started with the first part of the book with the family building. And then I left it sitting for a couple years until I realized where I wanted to go with it. And it was basically when Roe versus Wade was attacked, and I realized how much we had gained in the 70s, and now it was being taken away again. And most of my books are based on strong women.
Yes, and Sherry, the character, Sherry Paul, really, really is a strong woman. But, you know, it's interesting. I know there's that political backstory, but it really was more of the character development and what she was going through herself that I found interesting. But also watching Chicago over the decades and how it changed. So I got to ask you, you started out in the South Side of Chicago and a lot of years since then. What are the things that went away that you miss the most?
Things that went away.
Yeah, you know how times change.
Right, right. And I write mainly about the early years. But Farewell to South Shore basically was taken from the 60s on to about 2000. What I miss the most is probably South Shore. And I've had so many people that have emailed me or talked to me or come out of the woodwork because South Shore is no longer a safe neighborhood. And it was sort of a village neighborhood where we grew up, where the telephone was, you know, families looking, talking to each other on the stoop or looking out the window. And felt safe as kids in the 50s until the late 60s, where you could be out all day and come home when the lights turned out.
Sure.
You know, it's just sort of a village that a lot of cities had, but it's no longer there.
Which is
and it's
very
sort
sad.
Of, it, right. Farewell to South Shore is kind of a metaphor for a time and a place you can't go back to.
And I think that's true about all cities. When people have asked me, and I've lived in 32 cities, they say, what's your favorite? I always say, well, cities only exist in time. So you have to talk about it based on the time, not the way it is now, because everything changes.
Right.
And sometimes for the better, because, for instance, in the other novel that you sent to me that I really liked, Murder on Skid Row, it really came full circle back to an area that was very livable. Is very livable.
Right, right. Murder on Skid Row, basically, I based that in the 60s when my husband was going to dental school, University of Illinois, and he was right near that area. And it talks about two pharmacists that are killed.
Yeah.
And my husband happened to know the pharmacist. So we were walking down the area, and it's a beautiful area now. It's by Greek Town. Mm-hmm. It has award-winning buildings. And I looked at it, and we remembered it in the 60s. And that's what made me decide to write the novel about a time that's no longer there. And about an area that Chicago probably never wants to talk about. We kind of, today, we have illegal immigrants that are homeless, but the Skid Row area in the 60s was a different homeless. It was all pretty much Americans, and most of them were Vietnam veterans that were hooked on drugs, mainly because they came back to a time where nobody liked them any longer in the late 60s.
Right. They were vilified. That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So it's like I say, it's just a terrific look into the areas because, again, if you and other people like you, and there aren't enough of them actually, aren't writing things like this, the culture will just disappear. People will not know how it was.
Oh, definitely. That's why I write. Well, I'm 82 now, so I write about a lot of things in the past, more so than the present. But several of my books, two of my books are actually essays and short stories that they say are laughter and tears.
Yeah, absolutely. They are compelling. And I think even more so for people who know the areas, or even if they know the areas later, to take a look at how it was. When I looked up the South Shore community, I found it fascinating, even long before you were around, the 1800s and stuff, and the bungalows that came in the early 1900s. And this was a very affluent area. And so
It came around after the World's Fair of 1893, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when the area was first built up.
Right, because the Columbian Exposition was in Jackson Park.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So just fascinating. I assume some of those bungalows are still there.
I grew up in a building in Hyde Park, first Hyde Park and then South Shore. I was born in 1943, and the building was already old. And my granddaughter is going to the University of Chicago, and we walked over and took a picture in front of the building. I was hoping somebody was home to let me in, but nobody was around. But in my book, Farewell to South Shore, actually I'm getting the books mixed up in the next book that's coming out in about a month. One of the characters in Farewell to South Shore is a grandmother named Tilly, and she becomes 100 in this next book, and she wants to take the family back to see South Shore, and everyone's afraid to go because the area has changed so much. But that's the next book that's coming out in a month.
Oh, that's
but
great.
Aunt Tilly is very popular in Farewell to South Shore.
Well,
she's
sure.
She's the typical ethnic mother, grandmother that could, she's Jewish, but she could be Greek or Italian or, any ethnic.
Right, the immigrant, sure. In fact, on Farewell to South Shore, the first sentence, you get to meet Tilly because she's the one who's worried about Grandpa being on the roof.
Right, she's the one that, at the time in the 50s, there was always a grandpa or a father that was the head of a family, but it was actually the women that controlled it.
Which is
very interesting. They had their own ways of... The man makes the decisions, but the women knew how to work them there.
Right. Yeah.
And maneuver them. Yeah. And Tilly was really the head of the family.
Now, I also read that surprised me was that I guess it was the 1950s when the population peaked in the South Side. And since then, it's been declining in population, which I did not realize. I know the complexion of the neighborhood had changed in many ways and over the years, many ways. The last I had heard is in the 90s, it was a middle class African-American primarily. What is it like today?
Today, unfortunately, it's a very dangerous area to be in.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's got too many gangs, and unfortunately, it's not a great area any longer.
And you know, though, long after you and I are gone, it may turn around, just like Skid Row did.
Right, right. It would be nice if it does.
Yeah.
I have so many people that have come out of the woodwork talking to me about living there. It was sort of like a village, its own little village.
Yeah. Well, I think it's terrific that you're doing this as far as these books. And you're getting them published, which is wonderful. As I put on the website on Raleigh.net that it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles and all about that. And, of course, as well as directly from speakingvolumes.us. So I just think it's terrific. Now, you know, a lot of people say, I've got a story in me, I'd like to write, but actually doing it, well, that's a very different story. And so, you know, I understand about, you know, the journals when you were younger and sadly having to go through what you did with your son at a time when leukemia sadly was an absolute death sentence. But what prompted you to actually say, I'm going to do it? Because like I say, a lot of people say, you know, I'd like to, I've got a novel in me, but nothing happens. What made you take it into action?
Well, I tell that people you're never too late to start. And I probably always wrote for myself. It was my therapy. And then I started to put some short stories on Facebook or on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I got such great responses. And then we retired to the country. We're on, like, Wisconsin border.
Uh-huh.
And it gave me time. And I started to write, and it became my therapy. But I'm telling everybody, it's never too late. Like, I started in, you know, late 60s.
Yeah.
But like I said, I had always written for myself. And then I got a lot of encouragement from friends and my sister and from family.
That's wonderful. We're talking with Charlene Wexler, and if you'd like to join us, if you have South Shore memories or Chicago memories in general, we'd love it. 888-876-5593, 888-ROLLYE, or we'll pick it up from there right after the news on WGN Radio.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. Say, I got a woman. Just for me. Oh, yeah. She says loving early in the morning. Just for me. Oh, yeah. She says loving just for me. Oh, she loves me so tenderly. I got a woman way over town that's good to me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Ray Charles, I Got a Woman. It was Linda in Richland Park who requested that 1960 on Atlantic, and happy to play it. We're talking with Charlene Wexler, and we'll get back to it in a moment. We got Gail in Downers Grove who's going to share some South Shore memories as well. But, you know, it's interesting. I didn't mention how many notable people grew up or lived in the area, and it's fascinating. Larry Ellison from Oracle, born in 1944, raised in the South Shore community. Enrico Fermi, right, physicist, obviously don't have to tell you, a creator of the world's first nuclear reactor, raised in the South Shore. And on the list goes, from politicians and writers, too, and we'll get to that, to musicians. Bo Diddley lived on the South Shore for a while, and many others as well. Jesse Jackson raised his entire family there. Yeah, so Gene Krupa was a childhood resident of South Shore. This is really going back. Ramsey Lewis resided later in South Shore. So quite the area. And Susie Orman, the financial advisor on the radio. And much later than Charlene and I, but Michelle Obama was born and raised on the South Side. So it's rarefied company, to say the least. And you should, and I'm sure are, Charlene, very proud of the heritage of the area.
I want to ask you a question, just going off the line.
Sure.
Do you remember Franklin McCormick?
Oh, of course, on WGN
right.
Overnights and the poetry
right.
and all of that, sure.
Right, his poetry, and
yeah,
that's when we were kids, we listened to him.
Oh, of course.
I just thought of it now, because you have a long late night show, and he did too. We came on real late.
Yeah. No, I didn't know him, but later doing overnights on WGN was Eddie Schwartz, who was a good friend of mine. And I always liked right. listening to him on overnights as well. But yes, people still talk about the poetry and all the things Franklin would do. And a lot of that stuff is still available on vinyl if you look for it. So
I have one of his books that was signed. I remember meeting him years ago. Right. It just occurred. I was just thinking of that when you were talking about the people from South Shore.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to say, too, like, I grew up at a time right before, my sister's about 6 years younger, and she got involved in the 60s and what was going on. I was still in the 50s and early 60s.
Sure.
And I went to college where you went for your MRS degree.
Right, exactly.
But then later, with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, kind of encouraged me to get more into the women's movement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's what I ended up writing a lot about the 70s and women's, you know.
Absolutely, and I want to get into some of that. But Gail wants to join us, and Gail is in Downers Grove. So, Gail, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi. It's been very enjoyable listening to both of you. And I do miss my Eddie Schwartz. I'm a WGNer forever, and
yeah,
I'm a night person, so I have missed him.
Me too.
He was a lot of fun on the radio.
And he knew everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And the food drives. And,
yeah.
He had such a good heart.
Yes.
And so many complications, but I know he's at peace, so
yeah.
Thankfully for that, you know?
Yeah.
But the reason I called is I just wanted to comment when Charlene mentioned about not being able to go to the South Side right now. And I have sort of the same problem, but I just want to tell a little story, because my dad's youngest brother, Evert Bergquist, they came from Sweden as immigrants here, back in the, I guess the 20s. And he just passed away last year at 103, and he had been in World War II and was on Normandy Beach. And so for his 90th birthday, all he wanted was his family to come in from around the world to have a reunion, which we'd never done before. And he had rented a huge white fancy van, and he took us all from Hinsdale Country Club, where he belonged, to the South Side, and gave us a tour during the day, during the week. And it was a beautiful fall day, because his birthday was October. And we got to go to every house that our family had built on the South Side on different avenues. My my grandfather was a builder there, and he built each one of his kids an apartment building, and they lived all on the same street, and, you know, so on and so forth. But as soon as we pulled up in this beautiful white van, we all get out. It's a gorgeous day. Everybody comes out of all the buildings on the street, and they greeted us with open arms and said, sure, come to the property, you know, come to the backyard where all the, you know, the decks are and the garages and, you know, welcome. They just welcomed us with open arms.
That's wonderful.
And we had so much fun talking to all of them. And as we drove down the streets, he would point out, my grandfather had a furniture store. He was he made furniture from Sweden. He was very talented. And he sold it. So he took us by his first furniture store and things like that, you know, neighborhood things. And then my uncles all went together after World War II. They were all in the Army. They opened up. Everybody had Venetian blinds in their, you know, their two flats and so forth. And they opened a Venetian blind company for, many years. That's what they did after they got out of the Army. One was a salesman, one was in the store, and the other one was manufacturing. So it was kind of fun. We had the best weekend. I mean, it was just everything about it was memorable. And we even got to Oakwood Cemetery where they're all buried, you know, the original family. But again, it's not an easy thing to go out there. I'm so glad we did it when he was alive, and that was on his bucket list.
Great story. What year?
Well, I was trying to figure. He just died a year ago, and he was born, I think, around, my dad was born in 1918, so he must have been born in 1921, I'd say, or 22.
Okay.
So I don't know. It was maybe, 20 years ago now.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't remember. I'm not good at math going backwards.
Great story, Gail.
Gail, I want to tell you, I think you wrote my new book, the second in the series. It's called Welcome Back, and Aunt Tilly hires a bus for her 100th birthday to go back to South Shore.
Oh, that's great.
I love it.
I must have been thinking of your family unconsciously when I wrote it.
Oh, that's great.
That's wonderful.
One of my family members came back after that weekend, and about 2 weeks later, we have a complete book of pictures and day by day and time by time. And, he took us to Fermi Lab and stuff like that. We got a Saturday tour because we knew somebody, so we got to go in there, and it was just so much fun.
Yeah.
It was just fun. And it's a great memory for me. We've lost so many people, you know, like everybody does.
Yeah.
And I have the book. Everybody has the book, so that's good. And he was just a tremendous human being. So, you know.
Great stories, Gail. Thank you.
Well, you'll have to read my book.
Yes.
We won't go back.
I will.
It has Aunt Tilly in there insisting on renting a bus and taking the family back to South Shore.
I think I should come take you to lunch, and then I'll bring my book, and we'll sit down, and you can use whatever you want out of my book, the pictures, anything, but it's really well done.
It's already being published now, some kind of way. It sounds like. I must have been thinking of your family when I put it together. Oh, thank you.
All right, Gail. Well, thanks for calling.
All I ask is that tomorrow you think about me because I'm laying here relaxing. I played housekeeper because tomorrow I'm having my right knee replaced.
Ooh.
So I'm going to be for a few weeks.
Well, Gail, I'll keep you in my prayers, and I'm sure Charlene will too, and everybody else.
Thank you.
Let me know how it goes, Gail. I want to hear from you afterwards.
Oh, thank you kindly for that. I appreciate all the thoughts.
Thanks for calling.
Take care. Have a lovely evening. Stay well.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And we're talking with Charlene Wexler. I can't wait to hear about the next book, and we will in moments right here. But if you listen to this show, I know you love radio, or you wouldn't put up with me. And if you do, you probably know all about the Sea Crane Company. But if you don't, Bob Crane, like many of us many decades ago, was just disgusted with the state of radio reception. The radios that were being built were just awful. And he said, I could do better. And he did. And that is the one thing that every radio he has developed has in common. It just has the best reception for AM and FM of any radios out there. But many of them have a number of other features as well. And one of the neatest ones is the CC Radio 3. It's what John keeps by his bedside. It's the almost everything radio because it's got the addition of Bluetooth. So if you like to listen to podcasts or online shows and you're saying, sure don't want to do that on the phone, well, just use the CC Radio 3 and get a world-class speaker. It sounds wonderful. It's also got emergency capabilities like NOAA weather and the 2-meter ham band, which is a lot of fun as well. And if you listen primarily to voice content, the CC Radio 3 is arguably worth the price alone. Audio quality for the spoken word sounds like the host is sitting right next to you. It'll run on the included power cord, but a set of batteries over 170 hours. In fact, if you're not listening to it at high volume, over 250 hours. You can read all about it at ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. You can order right online. For faster shipping, you can go to Amazon or Bi-Mart or REI. But for the real deal experience first, go to ccradio.com. It's a catalog with great products and great information about radio as well. Now, if you're saying, but I can't go online, that's all right. They've got the world's best customer service. Call them. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. Ask for a catalog. They'll mail one to you free of charge. You can look through it to your heart's content. You can order online and they'll answer all your questions too. So whether it's 800-522-8863 or ccradio.com, you've got it made if you're a radio fan. Look at that CC Radio 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
I remember when I was a little girl, our house caught on fire. I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced to the burning building out on the pavement. And I stood there, shivering in my pajamas, and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a fire? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is.
I'm Raleigh James. That's Peggy Lee. Is that all there is? Somehow fitting. But last night, and this is terrible, I don't remember who requested it, but I've said I'll play it tonight, 1969 on Capitol. Yeah, normally Carol World's Best Show Prep keeps me honest, because I wouldn't remember any of this without her. But she was unavailable last night, so I'm on my own, and I don't remember. So my apologies if it was you, but you heard it anyway. We're talking to Charlene Wexler, and hours going by far too fast. And so I want to know, Charlene, the next book, you say it's at the publisher. When will it be released?
Probably the end of the month, another month.
Oh, good.
It's the second in the series with Farewell to South Shore. So you'll find out what happened to many of your favorite characters in that book.
Oh, good. Good. Well, that sounds...
And it has some new stories also.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm positive of that. So I was asking before about, because it's still, I think, fascinating that, you know, you hit middle age, a lot's going on, and you manage to get published. And of course, everybody else who has a book in their heart wouldn't even know how to get a publisher. So I got to ask, how did you do that? Because obviously, you know, I don't think your background was literary. Your husband's a dentist. How did you find a publisher?
I started out not just publishing myself on Amazon.
Uh-huh.
And then I found an agent who liked my books. She read Lori,
uh-huh.
And she knew someone I knew. and she became my agent, and she got a publisher for me. And I'm very happy with my publisher, speaking volumes. But also, I have to say, a publisher pushes you to do a lot of marketing. Yeah. And that's not my best place because I'm getting older. And like I said, 82, and I'm not real good. Now, this has been wonderful, but I'm not real good at traveling.
Yeah. No, you know, I'm sure. I wouldn't want to make those rounds either. And in a way, I feel guilty that I called you to put you through this, but I figured everybody in Chicago would want to hear about this.
This was wonderful. I can sit in my kitchen and talk to you and talk to your audience.
Absolutely.
I'm not too good at the pub, at the marketing where I have to be traveling around.
Yeah. Well, this show, I record them, and it'll be on Raleigh.net in perpetuity, so people can go to the downloads page and hear it if they missed it this time. And I want to hold you to one thing. When the book comes out, give me a call, let me know, and we'll promote it.
Thank you very much. I'll make sure I send you a copy.
Oh, I'd love that. I would absolutely love that. Well, I'm so impressed that you did it, because as I say, so many people say, I got to write a book. They do nothing. You did it, and you're living the dream at 82, and I think you're successful enough that you can tell your publisher, I'm not going on the road.
Right.
All right.
Thank you very much. It's so good.
Oh, my pleasure, Charlene. Absolutely. And thanks for writing them. I really did enjoy reading them.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Charlene. All right. So
all right.
That was Charlene Wexler, Farewell to South Shore, Murder on Skid Row, are the two she sent me, but there's many others as well. And of course, now that I've hogged Charlene all hour, the calls are lining up. Well, you can talk to me. I don't know nearly as much about the South Side, but, you know, WGN's Dean Richards does. He was born and raised there. All right, so we'll get back to it next hour right here on WGN Radio. That's Rochelle and the Candles. Rochelle Henderson, yes, absolutely male. L.A. group, and Rochelle and Johnny Wyatt started that group. And Hunter Hancock at the time on KGFJ had a label swinging. And the first thing they put out was a hit out of the box, Once Upon a Time, in 1960. They did a number of other things, including Each Night, which we just played. They were great records, but didn't get the airplay. Now, interestingly, it was on Challenge, and that was Gene Autry's label. And Gene Autry wanted to name the record label after his horse, Champion. But it was pointed out that Decca already owned the rights to that, because at one point they had had a label, Champion, even though they didn't then. So Gene Autry decided he'd take a legal challenge, and hence the label Challenge. I don't know whatever happened to legal Challenge, because a year later or so, Gene Autry just sold it. In any event, Josephine is a first-time caller in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Or not welcome back, welcome to WGN Radio. Hello, Josephine.
Good evening, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. How about yourself? Thanks for calling.
I am well. You brought back so many lovely memories of South Shore. They all came flooding back to me.
Oh, good.
We moved from South Shore when I was five.
Oh.
And my grandmother lived there till 1975.
Okay.
So, yeah, so many, many good memories. But in 2019, my daughter was actually lifeguarding at Rainbow Beach. And so I actually got to go back there by the old parish,
yeah.
The old church. Went to the old church. There was actually a stained glass window dedicated to my grandfather because he was killed in the line of duty. And my grandparents actually bought that house. I think in February of 28, I found the papers.
Wow.
And he was actually killed in September of 1928.
Oh.
Right before my mother was born, actually.
Oh, man.
My parents loaded up the truck and moved to Beverly when I was 5. But I just wanted to remark that I have so many young coworkers who are buying, they're turning all these old buildings and all these old bungalow apartments into condos, and all these young girls are buying them.
Wow.
And so they all live over there now by South Shore Country Club.
That's great. That's the kind of gentrification that happens
exactly
over
that,
time.
Exactly.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
They say that South Shore is going to be the next neighborhood to come back.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised, but I hope if it does, it still remains relatively affordable for people who have always been there, especially renters. Because
very often
you see people displace. The gentrification's wonderful, but it literally can displace an entire community. So I hope that they'll keep that in mind. Rainbow Beach is really, really neat as far as that goes. It's like at least 60 acres, so that's a nice little place.
And when my kids were growing up, they through the Chicago Park District, they belonged to the Junior Lifeguard program.
Uh-huh.
And it was great because, I'm telling you, it was cheaper than daycare because it was Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday, and they were tired when they got home. And a bunch of parents got together, and we actually had 2 school buses of kids that they drove down to South Shore Country Club and learned how to be lifeguards. And we as parents, once a week, we had to go down and pick them up from the different beaches, whoever they were competing with.
Yeah.
It was just such a nice experience to be in all those different neighborhoods.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, neat memories. I'm delighted you called, and I hope you will again.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Enjoy yourself.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right. So yeah, Rainbow Beach, it's got a gym, and it's got all sorts of sports-type things. It's absolutely neat. All right. So, and I'm so glad Charlene's writing about it and can't wait to hear the next book. Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah. Hello, Riley. A couple of interesting stories. Cafe Reconcile. They do a hospitality training for young people.
Yeah.
And 100% of the profits, they go to fund interns and learning opportunities over there in New Orleans.
Good.
Pretty neat.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there should be more of that stuff going around because I believe a lot in the trades. So.
Oh, I do too. And you know, I don't care what happens with AI or anything else. There's still, you know, you mentioned a restaurant or whatever. They're still going to need servers. I don't think the robot's going to bring it to you. I mean, it could. I mean, years ago, there was a place called Sushi Tron. And when I say years ago, I mean the 80s. Sushi Tron, where they had little railroad tracks that they brought your sushi on the railroad tracks. No people involved. I loved it, but needless to say, it failed miserably. So I think the human touch will continue to exist in restaurants for a long time to come.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing here I saw, you probably know about this already. Terra, T as in Tom, AARRA, laser internet.
Laser internet?
Did you ever hear of that?
No.
Yeah, I saw this in, it was one of the German news.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, they're looking at rural areas. I sort of have heard about this, but I don't know much about it, actually. But, Every time they talk about rural areas, I get very worried that there is something wireless involved.
Yeah. But, yeah. So the only thing is that it kind of like stumbles when it's like foggy. That's kind of like
the exception. Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder if it's related to Google, because I know Google X has a product called Terra spelled that way. I don't know.
I do remember Google being mentioned,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
So they said that they did it from Anguilla, this is in the Caribbean, to San Martin.
Okay.
As a test, so.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, they'll,
I hope to hear
they'll
more
get
about
there eventually. Yeah, they'll get there eventually. It says I just looked it up. Terra goes where others can't. Yeah. Wireless optical. There you go. Wireless will get there. I don't believe it's ready for prime time yet. But but we'll find out. You know, for John's 75th birthday, he's asked for a cruise to Hawaii. So all I cared about was would the package have the best possible at sea internet? Shows you where my mind is. So I found I found one that has a great deal. But you can't just get the internet separately if you want the latest and greatest, right? You have to buy the package. So we have a package that gives us 20 drinks a day. Mind you, we've yet to have our first drink ever, but we have 20 a day. And I thought, who the hell on a cruise ship can drink 20 drinks a day? But regardless, you know I'm going to use that internet, and I'll be able to tell you exactly how that works. You know, I always worry about the ping time, you know, as far as that goes. Like, what am I? But they say that they really got that down. So we'll see. So wireless optical communication on a chip, Terra is pioneering the next generation of connectivity. Well, good. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah. You ever get any free time? I mentioned this before, DW, they got these wonderful, but they do videos from different continents. Some of them are also from different categories.
Okay.
And I go, latest videos on their DW News.
Okay.
And it'll come up.
Yeah.
And it's a nice, like, five-minute video.
Right. And, here's an interesting article. Alphabet, that's who owns Google, spins off laser-based internet project. Really? Who do they spin it out? Well, I got to read more about that. Shows you what I'm not up to date, but a spins off laser-based internet project from Moonshot Hub. All right. Well, what exactly does that mean? We'll find out. When it's finally ready for prime time, the idea of doing things wirelessly certainly beats having to wire the world, so to speak, and it won't just be for remote areas. But, you know, so far, I haven't personally seen any wireless that I would say was ready for prime time. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll get there.
Yeah.
And God knows I've experienced it, but I just have never been terribly pleased.
Yeah, I'm glad that fire that started in Epcot wasn't a big thing, but I guess there was some walk-in cooler. I never heard such a thing.
What are we talking about?
Epcot at Disney, they had a fire over the weekend.
Okay. And it started in a walk-in?
It was a walk-in cooler, yeah, that's what they said.
Well,
I'll be darned.
I absolutely am aware of walk-in coolers, but it's rather interesting that that's what caught fire, though I could see. So it started backstage behind the park's France Pavilion within the World Showcase Land. So visitors had to be evacuated from Remy's Adventure Ride. All right, well, that'll give you more of an adventure than you were expecting at Epcot. But, images and videos
sure
of black
smoke. Yeah, I'm glad it was a big deal.
Yeah, and no injuries, so everybody can...
No injuries, thank God for that, yeah.
Yeah, everybody can take a look at that. And so apparently the ride is part of a multi-year transformation of Epcot. Yeah, well, until they can transform them that you're not waiting online, I have absolutely no interest in seeing any of it. But there you go. All right. Interesting stuff
as
always.
It's quite a deal. Dealing with the expensive tickets, too, you know, so it's not cheap.
Well, never is it?
Nope.
All right, good deal. So nothing new on job search?
Well, remember last week I told you about the interview
yes.
at Mira, so I'm still waiting to hear about that. So
okay.
Hopefully
right.
something will come up by the end of the week.
I hope so. Keep me posted.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right, thanks.
I'll call back later in the week.
All right, good deal.
Okay.
So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Yeah, I tell you, I guess my Miss Cleo hat is dusty because I was sure that when Eduardo got to Tampa, having a background, you know, of stellar employment and being totally bilingual, that he would have a job in a picosecond. This has not happened. Well, he's had some jobs, but nothing that he's been after. So I don't get it. There's a story here, and I don't know what it is. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Yeah, I'll get to that chewing gum and dementia link coming up on WGN Radio. James, those are the Turks, and they were truly a group of L.A. doo-wop royalty. Cornell Gunter, you remember from the Coasters. Gaynell Hodge, likewise. Curtis Williams and Richard Berry, yes, who of course wrote and recorded the original Louie Louie. All together in the Turks, and that was 1955, and that was on Money. Money was one of John Dolphin's labels in South Central L.A. On Central Avenue, but he called it Dolphins of Hollywood. And yeah, right, because, of course, as an African-American, he wasn't able to own a business in Hollywood. So he figured, all right, I'll just call it that. And Huggy Boy used to play from the window. And in fact, I absolutely recall him playing Emily by the Turks. All right, so that was another one of Jimmy P's requests on the South Side. All right, now here is, I know, the chewing gum story. Linked to dementia? You say, what? Yes, a single piece of chewing gum releases thousands of toxic microplastics into your mouth, which, if swallowed, could be dangerous. All right. Actually, the tiny plastic particles are shed by everyday items like cutting boards or water bottles or tea bags or even clothes. And they've shown that it can be linked to dementia or cancer or heart disease. And so now, apparently, there hadn't been much research on chewing gum. So, in fact, they got a group of people together to take a look at it. And what they've determined is that human brains contain up to 7 grams of plastic, which could be linked to dementia. And the study was a UCLA study. I guess someone was going for their PhD or whatever. He said, our goal is not to alarm anybody, said Sanjay Mahanty, the principal investigator. Well, sorry, but you lost. We're alarmed. Actually, the reality is scientists don't know if microplastics are unsafe or not. There have never been human trials, but we're exposed to them every day. And so, again, thousands of things that are plastic that we know to be plastic, like a water bottle or whatever we know. But chewing gum? Well, it hasn't been widely studied until now. But our buddy Sanjay here, a graduate student in his lab, got together to identify how many microplastics a person potentially ingests from chewing, both natural and synthetic chewing gum. Did you know there was synthetic chewing gum? Made from a rubbery base using petroleum-based polymers. Oh, yum. Laced with sweeteners, flavorings, and other ingredients. Natural gums use a plant-based polymer, such as chicle or other tree sap, to achieve the right chewiness. And apparently, won't get into the science of it, but in both there are microplastic. And so the original hypothesis was that synthetic gums would have a lot more microplastics because the base is really a type of plastics. But what they discovered is doesn't matter. Natural's just as bad. We'll give you the rest of the details, too. But if you want to change the subject, that would be just swell. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Hearts. Yeah, there's some royalty in that too. Rex Garvin and Leslie Valentine and Johnny Louise Richardson. You betcha. And the Hearts, 1955, that was on Baton. Baton was an interesting label. It was Saul Rabinowitz's label. And Saul, you're saying, who the heck is that? There is, by the way, a saxophonist by the same name. It's not that guy. It is a guy who joined Columbia in 1961, and he relaunched OK. Yeah, the OK label. So you got to love him for that alone. And then he was a VP at CBS International and set up a Greek division and all of that kind of stuff. And born in the Bronx and died in Cary, North Carolina. So, yeah, Saul Rabinowitz, now you know. But, yeah, I think for restarting OK, that alone is worthy of mention. But the Hearts was the final of Jimmy P's six-pack that we didn't play the other day. I got waylaid and forgot about him, but now we have. All right, Laura is in Willowbrook. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Unfortunately, I didn't get into your show until you were talking about chewing gum.
Uh-huh.
So it got me intrigued because I wanted to talk to you about ketchup, and who'd ever think you'd be talking about chewing gum or ketchup on the radio?
Well, let's hold ketchup there for a minute here, because I should probably finish the story about the chewing gum. And the initial hypothesis was that the synthetic gums would have a lot more microplastics, and so they tested five brands of synthetics and five brands of naturals, all of which commercially available for sale in the USA. They had the same person, this poor sap, chew seven pieces of gum from each brand so that different chewing patterns and saliva of the other participants did not skew the results. So the person, we don't know about his health at this point, chewed each piece of gum for about 4 minutes and then spat out the samples of saliva every 30 seconds before rinsing mouth out with water. And they also did another one, gum chewers, for over 20 minutes to get an idea of how much plastic each piece of gum would be released. And then they measured this stuff. And what they discovered was we're in trouble as far as that goes. There is quite a bit of microplastics that chewing gum gives off, whether it's synthetic or whether it's natural. And now, in terms of what does it really do to you, well, that's another subject, I guess. And so the bottom line is that, there's microplastics in no matter what you chew. If you're chewing it, there's microplastics. All right, so now, what about ketchup?
Well, real quick, I just have to comment about that. So if this is happening, how does the FDA let this go through?
Oh, come
and
on.
Does chewing gum go through for bubble gum also, kind of gum?
It probably does, but you can't possibly believe the FDA cares about your safety. we could go on for shows and shows and shows. But by the way, microplastics are not only in chewing gum. They're in tea bags, water bottles, seafood, Tupperware, chopping boards, makeup, on and on. So there's an awful lot of it. So the real question is, how much does this bother you? And that is something that is not determined in terms of that. And so the bottom line is bottled water can expose you as much microplastic particles as anything else you're doing. So nobody seems to know what this is going to do for you. And so everybody's just saying, oh, no cause for alarm. But the bottom line is, we don't know that.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Well, a totally different subject, but it's about food.
Okay.
Okay. I'm one of two people in the household. I do not need these big, huge... Hang on a minute. I have to look up what I was writing. I cannot seem to need these huge bottles of ketchup. Everywhere I'm going, I'm trying to find like a small amount. They come in, I looked it up, 14 ounce, 20 ounce, 32 ounce, 38 ounce, 44 ounce, 50 ounce, 64 ounces, 114 ounces. I don't need that much. You know how hard it was? I think I finally maybe found a 10 ounce bottle of ketchup. They're impossible to find. Who the hell lives on ketchup?
Well, actually, they have 2.25 ounces in glass bottles of tomato ketchup, if you look for it, Heinz. So they do. That's 2.25 ounces. That's assuming you actually want to consume this anyway. If you look at the ingredient list, you might say, "Ah, I think I'll do something else."
I couldn't believe it. It's I don't know. I had to go to like 4 or 5 different stores trying to find something small.
Well, yeah, miniature ketchup bottles. You can buy them online, and they're 2.25 ounces, and they're glass.
Wow. Well, okay, thank you. Well, I never dreamed of that. I got to order online.
I guess so. But now, again, look at those ingredients and decide if you're really wanting to eat this.
That's true. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, well, you know, it always pays to read labels as far as that goes. And then you can look for organic, not that that necessarily makes it that much better. Or you could look for all natural because there's an awful lot of sugar in ketchup.
Yes, you're right.
But, you know, a lot of the stores will sell, like Trader Joe's has organic tomato ketchup. I don't know. They didn't used to be able to call it ketchup because that was a trademark term, but that's gone into public domain name, so they can... That's why some said catsup years ago.
I wondered.
Yeah, now they can all say ketchup because it's public domain. But there's a ton of it. And if you go to like the health food stores, you'll see things like Primal Kitchen, organic, unsweetened. Now, will it taste as good as good old Heinz? No, probably not. So I guess it also depends on how much of this are you going to consume.
Wow. Thank you, Rel. Yeah. You're also always so full of knowledge. You never know.
Well, go for the online deal if you want those small ones. And again, you can get them in bottles if you want, you know, in actual glass rather than plastic if you want them.
Okay. Well, thank you, Raleigh. Have a great night, okay?
You too. Appreciate it. All right. So there you have it. Not meaning wanting to rain on the ketchup parade, but therein lies the deal. We'll get to James on the South Side, who actually sent me the chewing gum story, so you can blame him if you like, or many other stories that he sent that we'll go over, as well as I promised an example of Carole Kaye's bass playing. And in fact, our buddy in Beloit suggested Good Vibrations. And you know, I almost played it, but then I heard it again, and I thought, no, if he wants to hear Good Vibrations, which, by the way, Carole Kaye got a lot of compliments for her bass playing on that, and some people called it inspirational and all that. But you can hear that for yourself anywhere. But to say that she was responsible for hits, you betcha. And I'll be playing one that, as far as I'm concerned, not disputed. She was responsible for it. We'll get to it coming up on WGN Radio.
Now let me tell you people about this blackjack game. It's caused me nothing but trouble, and I've only myself to blame. Hey, 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 yeah. How unlucky can one man be? Well, every corner I get. Come around me because I've been so blind. I can't even borrow a nickel. Now I've almost lost my mind. Hey, 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 yeah. How unlucky can one man be?
WGN Radio. I'm Ronnie James. So that was a request, and I forget who requested that one, too. Actually, I had written it down, but now John just came in as I was searching. Frankly, you lose something? I said, yeah, the requests. But I remember that Blackjack was one. And actually, the reason I know that record as well as I do is because of the flip side. Flip side is Greenbacks, which is one of my favorite Ray Charles records. But yeah, Blackjack and Greenbacks, yeah, on Shellac, don't you know, was also on 45 RPM. That was in the Atlantic Yellow label phases. And which, you know, used to be the ultimate. You know, you'd collect Yellow Atlantics and all that. And then, of course, they went to Red. And most of us thought that there was some significance of the early Yellow Atlantic 45s. And so, yeah, I collect Yellow Atlantics. You know, you get them all. Until I found out that there was no significance whatsoever to it being Yellow Atlantic. And the reason it went to Red, which was the color of the shellac, is because the printer ran out of yellow ink. Yeah, so after that, I wasn't so totally excited about all my Yellow Atlantics. But nonetheless, they're still good to have, and Blackjack / Greenbacks is one of them. All right, so I was going to play the, but I forgot about it, the perfect example of Carol Kaye's bass playing, and it wasn't Blackjack. I assure you it wasn't. But I will play that actually right after the news, top of the hour. So... So much for that. All right. What time did the show begin? Yeah, 3 minutes later, I lost control of it. James on the South Side, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you?
I have no idea. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing a little bad with the cold.
Good, good. So it's in the right direction. You're going to live.
Yeah.
All right. So we go ahead.
Okay. I gotta admit, there's some odd ones. There's like the beef stick with the metal things.
Oh yeah, and the Stouffer's, which we talked about before, with a wood-like substance, and that scares the hell out of me. Wood-like, what does that mean? Yeah, and all of that. But before we get to what you shouldn't eat, which is everything. The one that caused to have my eyebrows raised, and actually the reason it did wasn't how egregious this story is, and it is egregious, but it is that when you get down to it, one of the worst things that happens in people's lives very often is family court. And so here we have a California mother facing a murder charge. She slit her 11-year-old son's throat following a trip to Disneyland rather than return him to his father's care. Unbelievable. And they have they divorced this couple in 2018. And apparently she has him for visitation. It's time to return him to dad. And she makes a call to 911 confessing that she killed her son and ingested pills in a suicide attempt. Well, unfortunately, she didn't die. He did, though. The child did. And so that was at the La Quinta in Santa Ana. I know just where that is. When authorities arrived, they found the boy's lifeless body in the motel room with a large kitchen knife. They arrested her on suspicion of murder. And obviously, she's charged. Now, this is the interesting thing. She faces a maximum sentence of 26 years. Yeah. All right. Well... so that was the idea. And the first comment I thought was interesting. If she was going to attempt suicide, why in the world would she take her son with her to the grave? Good point. So there you have that one.
Yeah. And unfortunately, people basically think of only themselves, really.
Well,
it's just like, there's there was this one story, I think it's still on that list, where a guy goes and visits his family and he decides to murder them all.
Yeah, no, I absolutely that. Yeah, on these horrible stories with regard to custody disputes, there's absolutely no forgiving it and in some ways no understanding it. But I do think the way the system is rigged, so to speak, is that there's probably not enough attention paid to the emotional and physical side of this. Most of the time, it's just the money. Here's what the support payments are. Here's how it's going to be divided. And I think that more time needs to be devoted to the mental health of the people involved. And if they have something to say, that they're heard.
Yeah, because unfortunately, okay, you're just going to keep having it. I mean,
yeah.
it's like a whole bunch of these. It's like, you want to actually ask, is this all? Is it okay? And I'm certain these judges get tired of like of hearing about one more of these.
Oh,
it's like almost
sure.
like
sure. And sometimes
yeah, it reminds.
There have been cases where the judges have been killed. I mean, that's it's as bad as it gets. So maybe a revamp in that would. And again, it doesn't explain or forgive this, but unfortunately, I hear about it too much. Now, you sent another story that was interesting to me in Chicago, where a woman died after jumping from a residence during a home invasion. So it's 5:30 on a Saturday, and here is a 21-year-old man and a 20-year-old woman in the apartment, a third-floor apartment. On South Manistee, not that it matters. So, an unknown suspect enters the apartment and fires a shot at both the man and the woman. They then jump from the third floor window, and unfortunately, she dies, and the man sustained injuries, but he's alive. No one is in custody. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting in my apartment, it never occurs to me I'm going to jump out of the third floor window. I have to figure that this couple knew the assailant.
Yeah, and they figured they had no chance against them, so they figured it was either die right there or at least take their chances with a jump.
Yeah, and so I'm glad that the man at least lived, but I hope we have, I always love it when we can finally get some conclusion on these stories, but the story of who was the invader and why was he there?
Yeah, and also, how did he get in the first place? I opened the door.
Yeah, that, but you know as well as I do, there's dozens of ways you can get in, but why did he want to? I mean, I don't think that this was just random.
No, and that's what's the unfortunate thing. And then there's a case where, this is from Milwaukee, I think it's from Milwaukee area, where a guy kills his mistress because she was 20 years old. She told his wife that she was the lady that he had an affair with.
So he
decides to basically turn her into a human barbecue.
Yeah.
And he tried to get a friend to come, but his friend said, no way. And he managed to, lead police in such a way back to, and they caught the guy. And so now the guy is pretty much in jail with his friend and another man. But I think it was some guy did help him, so that guy's like accessory.
The whole thing, I looked for that story. You sent that to me because I don't remember seeing this.
Yeah, I send it. If I find it again because it's still on my list, I'll send it again because it was a pretty sad story. I mean, I thought, first off, you were the guy who decided to, to have this affair. You thought you could have your cake and eat it too.
Well, very often they do, and unfortunately, maybe not the outcome, thank God, but more often than not, you do hear stories about the mistress. Hell, you have songs about it, woman to woman, or she's got papers on me, and on it goes. So it's unfortunately too common a story. Now, you have one, and this is another one where I don't get it. A guy was outside talking to his neighbors. He comes inside. He goes to the bathroom. He is on the toilet. His woman comes in with a gun and says, "You think I'm playing?" Well, he does think she's playing. It's his wife, and he thinks she's playing around. Well, she said, "I am not playing," and she shoots him in the leg. Now, what on earth? And there's nothing in the story that explains what went on.
I know, and I looked for some clarification. Nah.
You're right, exactly.
That's just as bad as there was this one case where it's not quite the same one, where a woman got mad at her husband, I think, ended up fatally killing their son, and so she came and she shot him while he had his back turned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you always wonder. Now, we also had a follow-up on the story of the 73-year-old grandmother who was mauled to death by two dogs last year. This is Ohio. Ohio grandmother mauled to death by two dogs. Well, it turns out that the dogs ingested cocaine at the time of the incident. And there were two pit bulls, and they were killed by police after the attack. But so high on cocaine, the two pit bulls, Echo and Apollo, attack and dismember this grandmother. Now, that leads you to wonder a lot of things. So there's lawsuits on that. But John says, we got to stop talking. It's time for the news. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
bye. Thanks. Okay. Appreciate it. All right. Bye. So on that note, we'll have news you can use or at least want to hear more than this coming up on WGN Radio.
The beat goes on. The beat goes on. The drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee, la da 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 da.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's not the original 45 version of that song, and I'm going to find that because I want you to hear it. All right, because it was the other night that we were talking about Carole Kaye, who's turning 90 just right about now, and what she had contributed to, which, by the way, is thousands and thousands and thousands of records as a bass player. And a lot of people cite Good Vibrations as kind of the quintessential example of her stuff, and I contend, while that's absolutely true, not a song I particularly like, but she's great on it, The Beat Goes On is really the story. And I want to find the 45 version of that, which I think I've got on this computer somewhere, but I'm not sure. I'll keep looking. But the deal was Harold Batiste arranged it. And not to take anything away from him at all, but the reality was when they were cutting that song, which Sonny Bono wrote, it was just not making it, period. And it was, Sonny was the producer and Harold was the arranger, but it just wasn't making it. And, you know, the studio musicians, who, as you probably well know, are the real unsung heroes to a lot of things, were coming up with this. And it was Carole Kaye who came up with this bass line. And this is what made The Beat Goes On a hit. Period.
The beat goes on. The beat goes on. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee. La da 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 da. Charleston was once the rage, uh-huh. History has turned the page, uh-huh. The miniskirt, the current thing, uh-huh. Jeannie Bopper is our newborn king, uh-huh. And the beat goes on.
Yeah, and you can hear that repetitively through that song. That was a hit because of Carole Kaye, period. Although, a number of legendary people were on that song. And that, by the way, was on ATCO in 1967, in case you were wondering. But Dr. John played on that. Frank Capp played on that drums, and Jim Gordon played on that drums, and Jim Gordon was an interesting guy all the way around. He was a session drummer. He also played in Derek and the Dominoes and all of that, but it turns out that he was a convicted murderer, and he murdered his mother and got 16 to life and actually died in prison. And so it was a very sad story because he had undiagnosed schizophrenia, and that was... But in that session, he was just a gem, truly. And like I say, somewhat of a who's who. But if Carole Kaye didn't come up with that that bass line while they're all fooling around wondering what to do with it, that would not have been a hit. So that's my favorite example of Carole K's work. But like I say, you're talking on at least 10,000 records. And interestingly, she didn't start out like most people didn't start out as a session musician. She was playing in jazz clubs and things like that. And she was asked to play, I think it was Bumps Blackwell, asked to play on Sam Cooke's Summertime. And that was probably the first session she ever did. And what really happened was the light went on. She said, oh my God, I can make more money doing this. And that's exactly what she did. You heard her on La Bamba and a lot of Phil Spector stuff and on and on and on and on and on. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And Robert in Stickney's got some requests. So what do you want to hear, Robert?
Okay, yeah, I just got a couple of them from way, way back. One is Buick 59 by the Medallions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I still remember by the Cufflinks.
Oh, that's interesting. You betcha. No one ever asked for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Why do you know that record?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How?
Yeah.
Oh, years and years and years ago, I bought, it was an offshoot label or a small label called Guest Star.
Uh-huh.
And they had it called Rhythm and Blues.
Okay.
And those two cuts were on it. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, all right. So you wouldn't have otherwise, but there, yeah. All right.
Yeah, that was just a little bit before, but yeah, I started listening in '57 to the radio to the top hits. Yeah.
All right. Good deal. We'll do it to it.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Uh-huh. Of course, the Cufflinks did Guided Missiles and a lot more. They were on Dutone originally. And so I was a little surprised by that. But yeah, we'll do that. Now, let's see. We've got Gwen in Chicago. So, Gwen, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. I just want to let you know, I had the pleasure of seeing Sonny and Cher.
Yeah.
Years back, singing that song, and the beat goes on at the Tiffin Theater on North Avenue.
Wow.
They were both dressed in white and her bell bottoms and the fringes, and that's when they first became popular. But I was like, I'll never forget that. I think it was either North Avenue or Armitage. I'd have to look that up. But it was definitely the Tiffin Theater.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Such to behold. Yeah. So when you played that, I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And they did turn out, especially in Southern California, to be everywhere for a few years. They were just the it group as far as that duo went. And of course, she, who her career clearly eclipsed his, would have never been singing at all if she didn't cause him to sing with her, because she was scared to death to go on stage.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah,
thanks,
just petrified.
That.
And so, yeah, she said Sonny had to sing with her, and that's why it was Sonny and Cher.
Aw, but they looked great
Oh,
together.
Yeah, they were perfect, you know, the bell-bottoms and all that. They were absolutely trendsetters.
Ew, yeah. Well, I hope, thanks for taking my call.
Oh,
I hope the rest of the night goes well with you guys, but I love listening to the show at the end of the night. Well, I kept my day with listening to you.
Well, great to have you, and call me again soon.
Thanks, Raleigh. Okay.
Yeah, good deal. We'll get to Jim in Richmond, and there's room for you. 888-876-5593. Yeah, I think I'll play Buick 59 next. Coming up right now. I kind of want to hear that, actually. Yeah, Vernon Green and the Medallions on WGN Radio.
Can you talk? Is your man at home? Can you talk? Are you there all alone? Is everything all right? Can we meet again tonight?
Call me
when he's gone. Talk. Is he there by the phone? No, can't talk.
No, can't talk.
Say the number is wrong. Lucy gone to sleep? Can we make our little cream? Call me when he's gone. I don't know why we love on the sly when we both know it's a sin.
James, yeah, Vernon Green, lead singer of the Medallions. I was looking for Buick 59 and came across that first. God, I haven't heard that in a while. So yes, Vernon Green, Can You Talk, which Ron Holden also did. In fact, the Ron Holden version was something that Art LeBeau put out. But yeah, Vernon Green and the Medallions, and I promise I'll play Buick 59 next. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And Jim from Richmond with the eye update. So what do you got for me, Jim?
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to let you know, I told you about Days In that pays the 20% for my shots.
Yes.
And that they weren't going to cover it.
Right.
Today, I called, but it was a, you know, computerized message.
Yeah.
And I found out that I am still eligible for $3,000 until the end of the month.
Good.
So I called the doctor's office, and I told them, and they said, no, you got to go to the billing department. So I called the billing department, and they told me, I told them what they said and what's available, and they, you know, go on their computer and check, and they said, okay, as of right now, you're covered. So I was totally over the moon.
But
yeah. April 16th, I get the Eylea shot that they told me that's going to cost $320.
Uh-huh.
So I will wait a couple of weeks until after that shot, see if it was covered.
Right.
And I am so excited that I'm covered. But they said, you know, and basically what they told me from the billing department is they're not taking any new, you know, people requesting help.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so I was really excited about that. And I was told in December that I was covered. So
right.
I'm happy about that.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. And one other request I have from you.
Yes.
Could you play me a song by Ed Sheeran?
Who?
Ed Sheeran.
Who is this?
He's a singer. And
what did he sing?
He sings many songs. But I can't think of the song that I love right now.
I can't even think of the artist.
You know, he's, you know.
We're talking about Ed Sheeran, the English guy?
Yes.
Yeah, I have absolutely nothing by him.
Because he plays the song that I totally love.
Yeah, I have nothing by him.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that. I when you said who that was, I know, but this is much more recent stuff. I just don't have it.
Right, I'm sorry.
All right. Well, good deal.
And can you play a couple of songs that you love and dedicate them to me?
Yeah. Well, I just played one of them, Can You Talk, Vernon Green. I really do like that song. But I'll look for more.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, so...
And have a good evening.
You too. All right, so that's good news about the shots. Yeah, you just kind of hate that when suddenly the funding for something goes away and you're saying, but wait, I need that. Yeah, I understand. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. So I'm just looking. I looked up Ed Sheeran to see could I possibly have something by him. And then it includes a record by CeeLo Green that I cannot say on the radio or anywhere else. Yes, yes, four-letter words, you. And like, oh, well, that must be a soothing dinner hour selection or not. So we'll come up with something else I like, but certainly the medallions. But I was looking for I Still Remember because now the cufflinks, did I remember? It's a different cufflinks. But I remember Bobby Freeman and the Romancers had done that. So maybe that's what he's thinking about. I don't know. We'll find out. And we'll also play Buick 59. But as for other things too numerous to mention, yeah, I had a number of things set out to talk about, and then I didn't. Oh, but back to Grandma, who was mauled by the two dogs. This is interesting. It is, and they've been arrested now, it is a fairly young guy and his mother, who apparently had been ordered to get rid of the dogs, first by a homeowners association, but then by the courts, and they didn't do it. They just allowed the dogs to roam loose. Well, apparently the dogs got into Junior's cocaine stash. And even after the cop shot one of them, shot but not dead, he goes back to try and continue to maul this 73-year-old grandmother. So it really makes you wonder, what are people thinking? And, of course, I have absolutely no answer to that whatsoever. So we have a number of other stories we can talk about. But, yes, the meat stick recall, check your food for metal pieces. All right, so we've got the wood pieces in the lean cuisines. Now we've got the metal pieces in meat sticks. Yeah, right. Well, I'm telling you, we'll never eat again. This might be the best for weight control as far as that goes. But the antithesis of weight control, Jack in the Box is coming to Chicago. Have you heard this? Yes, finally returning. And this summer, there will be up to 10 locations that are going to start opening this summer and go through the next couple of years throughout the Chicagoland area. And locations will be open 24 hours a day, drive-through, mobile ordering, of course. Yeah, don't you love that? I go through the drive-through now, and the first thing they ask is, have you used your mobile app? Yeah, no, I absolutely just thought I'd talk to you and perhaps order. Yeah, so apparently, I'm not sure... Not sure when Jack in the Box left the Chicago area, but, you know, it's the kind of thing, and I've talked about this a lot, and you probably have as well among your friends and family, is you get something edible that you really like in a restaurant, and then either the restaurant goes away or they stop serving whatever it is. You remember it forever, right? And so for Jack in the Box, for me, I love their, like, dollar tacos. I don't even want to know what's in them. Do not tell me. But I just thought I like them. And so it's about all I can say for Jack in the Box. But if you have a Jack in the Box favorite, then by all means, yeah. I think I mentioned this before, too. But TGI Fridays used to have the best carrot cake. Best in the world. This was wonderful. And, of course, they stopped putting it on the menu probably about 20 years ago. And I just thought it was the best. And, you know, you try to then, you say at least, you know, have mercy on us. At least give us the real recipe. Because, you know, they have all those books that will give you fake recipes for Kentucky Fried Chicken or whatever. They don't work, yeah, for Skyline Chili. No, you need the real stuff. And so there's so many, or restaurants that have just gone away. And usually it's some local joint, but you just love it. Marcella's Pizza in North Miami. It was the garlic rolls, just the best. And you look forever to find them again and never do. So curious if you have any of those edibles where you're jonesing for them late at night. Royal Castle. Yeah, not White Castle, mind you. Royal Castle. Yeah, some Ohio guy who started it in Florida and gone for probably 50 years. But oh man, they were just the best. Yeah. So I digress. But if you feel that way about any of the Jack menu items, they'll be back. So over 10 locations over the next 2 years: Chicago, Tinley Park, New Lenox, Plainfield, Naperville, Carroll Stream, Lake in the Hills, and more. So the first one scheduled for July. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to go riding in my Buick 59?
Buick 59.
Oh, would you like to go riding in my Buick 59?
Buick 59.
Well, I'm telling you people that the riding's mighty fine.
Buick 59.
Got an eight-cylinder motor and a jet propeller overdrive.
Buick 59.
Got an eight-cylinder motor and a jet propeller overdrive.
WGN Radio, I'm Roddy James, and yeah, Vernon Green was having a good time on that. He wrote it, he sung lead for the Medallions. That was on Dutone, yeah, Dootsie's label there, 1954. The flip side, of course, was a classic, The Letter. Yeah, the line, sweet words, epismatology, and for years I wanted to know, what the hell does that mean? And you had a number of people who interpreted it differently, including Steve Miller. Had it in one of his songs and all that. So I ran into Vernon Green, who was obviously still alive at the time, at a grocery store. He died, in, I think, just before Christmas in 2000. So he was very much alive before that. And I said, okay, what is it? Sweet words of pismatology. He said, and he said, I just made it up. Sounded good. Like, I wanted to hit him. All right, there's a little more of the story than that. But for the most part, yes, he did make it up. But there were other lines in there. Yeah, the puppetudes of love. And yeah, he had an answer for that too. All right, so in the meantime, oh, now this is interesting. I was thinking about you the other night, Frank. Frank in Northlake, wondering how you were. We hadn't heard from you in a while. What's up?
Oh, gee whiz, thank you. No, nice for you to say that.
Yes, and how are you?
I haven't. Okay, I just ain't been feeling good on and off. I don't know, I got things that I've been addressing with the doctor and such, but it's like sore muscles and whatever, I little rotor cuff problems, and et cetera. But so far, everything's good. I had a couple of CAT scans, you know, since I've talked to you over a year. I'm still plugged in. I still listen to you guys.
Great.
Picked up a couple of little odds and ends, you know, like I had the answer. Earlier, the lady was talking about she can't find a small bottle of ketchup because you don't use it that fast.
Yeah.
Well, you go to the dollar store. They got Hunt's.
Yeah.
The Hunt's
were
they're about eight ounces or so. And then they had a few varieties, Hunt's and Heinz.
Uh-huh.
They got one jalapeno, one regular, et cetera. And then you were talking about the OK label.
Yes.
And, I collected some records. I don't have it with me right now. I just got some. I got to go through some more of them. It's hard to do when you ain't feeling well and you can't move around, like, because you're in pain, you know, but I'm well-able-bodied and such. But anyway, the OK label, I had two copies. Gene Autry on the OK, that's OKEH, I believe.
Yes, and do you know what it stands for?
No.
Otto K.E. Heinemann. It's his initials. Otto K.E. Heinemann.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he started...
Anything to do with Heinemann's Bakery?
I don't think so. He started it in 1918 in New York.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I never knew that. So that was quite old record.
Oh, yeah, but it went through a lot. Originally 1918, I think they were doing cylinders, actually.
Oh, gee whiz.
You know, ultimately, though, he incorporated and he had a pressing plant, and the first discs were vertical cut, and then later they went to lateral, but it was a vertical cutting plant. It was really interesting, and then, but that's who it was, and, you know, it went in and out of business a few times, but always had that, you know, esoteric feel, like whether it was jazz or whether it was R&B or what they would call then race records.
Oh, okay.
You know, they were very big on race records. But in 1926, OK was sold to Columbia. And
okay.
Yeah, and of course, that was both good and bad news, to say the least. And it wasn't until Columbia decided in 65 to turn it over to Epic as a custom label that they really started to do things with it again. But of course, a lot of our major Lance and all that. In 63, Carl Davis became head of A&R for OK, and that really made a difference.
Well, I remember Epic, and I remember Dot, and I remember a lot of those. My two recordings of Gene was Back in the Saddle Again, and
yeah.
I forgot what the flip side was, but it was really, they were really cool.
Oh yeah, and, no, there were a lot of that stuff. A lot of people that you would normally not think of had, and they had laughing records and crying records. Yeah, OK had an interesting history.
Well, so they did quite a variety of music.
But like I say, in 63, when Carl Davis headed A&R, that was, of course, the Major Lance period. But also, OK had, before that, had Little Joe and the Thrillers. You know, the big hit, of course, was Peanuts. But Little Joe also did some wonderful ballads that people have never heard and should.
Was that Peanuts? Was that the one... Peanuts.
Yep, that's Peanuts. Yes, absolutely.
I thought it was Little Willie John.
No, no.
I thought it was Little Willie.
Little Joe and the Thrillers. It was Little Joe Cook.
Was there a Little Willie John?
Of course, of course. And
Little
Willie John did Sleep and so many things. The original Talk to Me, you know, Best Talk to Me Ever.
Yeah.
I know all the things. Right. And Little Willie John did everything. Heartbreak, It's a Hurtin' Me was probably my favorite.
Oh, gee whiz, yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, I reminded him.
But yeah, Little Joe,
Another time. You were playing, let me just knock this out first. This was kind of around the holidays, though, or in January.
Uh-huh.
Someone called up, I don't know if it was a lady or a gentleman, talking about, man, anchovies got some little bones, but you can eat those. There's nothing. But you can also buy in a jar anchovy paste.
Yeah, I know. I have that. It's not quite as good, but it doesn't have the bones. You're right.
No. Yeah. But there are certain brands that you can buy. I forget what they are, but you can get them, and they're very small bones. They're so flexible that they don't even hurt. You just chew them a little better.
Yeah.
But we make a dish around Christmas time. Oh, during the year, maybe once or twice, but mostly Christmas Eve, along with other items, fish, et cetera. It's an Italian dish. That's like spaghetti alla leche.
Okay.
Aglio is garlic, leche is anchovy.
Yeah.
And you put olive oil in the pan, you let it get, to warm, not hot. And you put enough to compensate the amount of breadcrumbs according to how much you're going to make of how much pasta. Usually we use angel hair.
Yes.
Or if you don't use angel hair, you use cappellini or vermicelli. They're all very close.
Yeah.
Well, angel hair is cappellini, cappellini. Yeah, it's just one and the same.
Yeah.
Vermicelli, vermi means worm, so it's vermicelli.
Okay.
However, you take the breadcrumbs, you put the olive oil, you warm it up, and you put your breadcrumbs in there, and you stir them around with a wooden spoon so you don't scratch your pot, even though if it's Teflon. And you get that nice and saturated, and all the ingredients is anchovies, capers. You work the anchovies in later. You make a little, you break them up a little bit with a knife. So you distribute them as to however strong you would like the taste of anchovy. But it's actually a finished product. There's a beautiful marriage of flavor to it, and you'd love it.
I'm hungry already. It sounds wonderful.
It's like aglio olio, which is garlic and oil, okay?
Yeah.
All right. But the other ingredients is the breadcrumbs, the extra virgin olive oil, black pepper, the small capers, and put some of the juice in there, too, some of the caper juice from the jar.
Yeah.
And like I say, according to however much you're going to make, you'll know how much. And then you keep turning the breadcrumbs. You stay with it. And then some fresh chopped parsley flakes, the Italian parsley. Mm. You'll find it, the fresh preferred. And then, the anchovy, the garlic, the bread. You toast it. You're toasting the breadcrumbs.
Uh-huh.
And it's an excellent flavor. And, oh, your garlic. You make a little circle in the middle.
Yeah.
And you pour a little pool of oil. And you get your garlic. You can cut it like your tiniest, your fingernail on your pinky, or you can mince it, whichever. But cut them real thin, because you get them to where they'll just toast them nicely, then mix them in so they don't burn. Because, you know, as garlic, I'm sure you know, the garlic gets bitter when it burns. But, man, this finished product is beautiful. And you got to fight with the vermicelli, with the angel hair, because, you know, it sticks together. But you shouldn't rinse it. Maybe a little. And then you got to incorporate it all in a big pot, a deep one, so you can toss it without breaking up the spaghetti part of it. But, man, I'll tell you, and then you get an even distribution of the anchovy paste. And, man, you'd love it. And you get it toasted just right, and you'll have a nice, what do they call it, when you bite into it, the texture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Sounds wonderful. Anyway. Sounds absolutely wonderful. So, I think the first big 45 that Little Willie John had was All Around the World. And you might not remember that title, but you remember the song because of the line, "Grits ain't groceries, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man."
Oh, yeah, I think I recall hearing that.
Yeah, that was Little Willie John.
Was it like early to mid-60s?
No, this is 50s. This is 50s.
Oh, okay, like
this is like 55 for All Around the World. That was 55 on King.
Wow.
Yeah, and then, of course, Fever and, a number of things, of course.
I like Peggy Lee. So
well, Peggy Lee was a cover of Little Willie John.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that was Willie John's tune, Fever?
Absolutely. Yeah, here. Here's a little of it.
You never know how much I love you.
Oh, yeah.
Never know how when you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's so hard to bear. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night.
So that's the original Fever, April of 1956.
Wow. I do remember it. I heard that a lot of times.
Yeah.
That was a great arrangement.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, he did it first, and then Earl Grant had it out, and Peggy Lee did have it out for 2 years, I think like June of 58, which was the big hit, of course, because she was Peggy Lee. But Little Willie John was first, and it was Eddie Cooley and Otis Blackwell who wrote that.
Oh, which, Fever?
Yeah.
Eddie Cooley and Otis Blackwell.
Yeah, Otis Blackwell. Oh, no. Yeah, and of course, Otis is responsible for so many, many, many songs. So,
I remember, what's his name? He was known as the High Priest of the Hammond.
Yeah, right.
I think he played a B3.
Yeah, so...
I'm a former entertainer musician.
Yeah.
I did a road 3 years, et cetera, et cetera. But the B3 is the greatest organ in the world.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Or the BV Hammond.
Yep.
With that Leslie speaker spinning around. And you were mentioning, you played a tune one night, and I says, oh, wow, man, that's Harry, the arpeggio. The intro, I said, hey, that's Harry James's horn. And it was.
Yeah.
It was, only it was what's-his-name singing the song. I was expecting Sinatra to come up, but he didn't do the verse.
Right.
Dick Van Dyke. I believe it was Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, right. I did play that. But when you're talking about Hammond, are you a Jackie Davis fan?
No. Well, I like Earl Grant. I like Jimmy Smith.
I'm talking about Just on the Hammond.
Oh, you mean instrumental?
Yeah. Have you ever heard him do It All Comes Back to Me Now?
I may have.
All right.
One of the tunes I love was a one-hit wonder, only Charles Erland did it on the on the organ called
Jackie Davis was great. He was on Capitol, and in 1956 he put out an album called Hi-Fi Hammond. And my favorite cut on that is It All Comes Back to Me Now. And I'm going to play it next for you.
Okay.
You'll have to let me know if you like it.
All righty.
Okay, thanks. Good to hear from you. Feel better.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thanks.
And thank you. And
all right.
I'll talk to you soon.
I hope so. All right, good deal. Yeah, I'd really been worried about Frank because I hadn't heard in a while, and so good to hear. And yes, any excuse to play Jackie Davis, and it was Jim in Richmond who said, play something you like and dedicate it to me. Ah, Jackie Davis, It All Comes Back to Me Now, coming up on WGN Radio. That's Jackie Davis from Hi-Fi Hammond, and he was said probably more than anyone else early on to popularize the Hammond B3. And that was on Hi-Fi Hammond, but I thought it was just an absolute terrific record all the way around. And Jackie Davis was a very interesting guy all the way around with that as well. And so he's from Jacksonville, born and died in Jacksonville, Florida, and noted for probably bringing the Hammond to the forefront of jazz and pop, preceding Jimmy Smith by a number of years, because very often you'll hear that Jimmy Smith was the guy who did that. But Jackie went to Florida A&M and originally started to do jazz on the pipe organ there and then switched to the Hammond. So this would be like 1950, maybe late 40s. And, he was like in the Louis Jordan time and the Bill Doggett and all of that. And he was working at Club Harlem in Philadelphia and then began touring across the country with the Hammond as his trademark from like 1950 on, and then got the contract with Capitol, which of course led to Hi-Fi Hammond, and made a little bit of a comeback in 1980. He made a cameo appearance in the movie Caddyshack. Never did see it, but heard about that. Sadly, like I say, died in 99 in Jacksonville following a stroke. and mostly a jazz organist, but a number of other things as well. So that's Jackie Davis. So when you're talking about the Hammond B3, it's hard to have that conversation without talking about him. Now, Little Joe and the Thrillers we were talking about, and of course, Peanuts was the big one. But the other one in the same vein of Peanuts was The Echoes Keep Calling Me. Yeah, very much like Peanuts, and that's really what he was remembered for. He was originally from Philadelphia, but he wound up in residency in Boston and Cambridge till he died, which is fairly recent history. I think he was in like his late 90s. I'll have to look that up. But a lot of people didn't realize he did some killer ballads. Never made any airplay that I know of, but yeah, just good stuff.
Don't leave me alone. Never leave me alone. Always stay by my side, my dear. Please don't leave me alone. Don't you ever leave me alone. I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you. Every night and every day, you'll always hear me sing.
Yeah, so Jim asked me to play some records I loved. Well, that would be one of them. And I looked up Little Joe Cook. He died in 2014. I don't believe it was that long ago, but he did, 91 years old. And he was performing until fairly recently before he died. And he had been really the in-house performer at a club, the Cantab, in Cambridge from like the 60s through like 2007. And his daughters were the Sherrys, but I digress. We'll talk about this some other night. Well, pretty much that's it. Tomorrow night, we have three big hours. I don't know, maybe we'll talk about this again or whatever else is on your mind. So we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. We'll do it again 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.